There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed.
I think we got a heck of a shot of winning. We beat anybody in the world, and I think we're going to win next Sunday.
Eli Manning stays on his feet, airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree.
For all you non-believers, disrespect us, talk crap about the defense like we ain't the third best defense in the league.
See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
Fitzpatrick. End zone. Eric Decker holds it in. The Jets win in overtime.
And the New York Giants, given last rites by many in December, are the Super Bowl champs in February.
This is NFL Friday, going long on all news, reaction, and game picks for the Giants, Jets, and across the NFL on WFUV Sports.
Welcome to this week's edition of NFL Friday, your weekly NFL podcast for WFUV Sports. I'm Grace McCarron, joined by Mahdi Dembele and Chase Benson. A little rundown of the show for you guys. We're going to start off with the local teams, talking about mostly the struggles of the Jets and Giants so far this season. And then we're going to go around the rest of the league a little bit and make our picks for week 9 of the NFL season. But before we get into that, you guys, Mahdi, I'll start with you. How are we doing today?
I'm doing well. It is Halloween, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Halloween. Go outside, get to trick-or-treating, bust out the costumes. But before you do that, we're going to talk a little bit of football here. Jets, Giants, general NFL, doing it with Grace, Chase, Alex behind the boards. It's going to be amazing, guys. Stay tuned.
How about you, Chase?
I can't lie. I'm feeling good. I'm excited to get to talking to NFL, and I'm excited to get my costume on and enjoy Halloween tonight. It's going to be a great night.
Awesome. So I think we're going to start off with the New York Jets, who now sit at 2-6, tied for last place in the AFC East with the New England Patriots, coming off a pretty brutal loss against the Patriots this past weekend. They lost that one 25-22, their fifth straight loss. And they're the first team since 2012 to lose with zero giveaways and less than 250 yards allowed. So not really looking great for a Jets team that had all of this hope and just these ideas of success coming into this season. So Chase, I'll start with you. What do you think of the Jets so far? Like, what is the rest of the season outlook for them?
Okay, so let me start with this. I am not a Jets fan. I have never claimed to be a Jets fan. I'm from Arizona. So I have a very outsider's perspective on this team, and I've never been an Aaron Rodgers fan. But I did honestly think it could not have been this bad. And I am a little blown away by what I've seen this season. Especially with, you know, Garrett Wilson, and that duo that everybody thought was going to like be some of maybe a league leader, some people said. But I'm not surprised that Rodgers has not, you know, I mean, coming off of that accident last season, like, I don't remember how many snaps he had, but just such an early accident for him. I mean, that's got to be hard to come back from. And maybe that's showing in their record thus far. But I don't know. It's just, it's rough. But I mean, yes, it's not too late to turn it around. You know, it's, I would say like never count them out, but it looks rough. So
I think, I mean, if I'm okay to go, Chase, if you have anything else, but if usually with situations like this, if you look around, there's usually one, I would say like one instance or something that the team does that lets you know that it's going to be a rough season. And when they fired Robert Saleh, it felt like the Jets felt like they needed to do something. And that's where they went wrong. It felt like more of a, just like a muscle twitch, or this was just something that they felt like they had to do because they're a team with no identity. You traded for Davante Adams. He has not been good because this is not 2021 anymore. Aaron Rodgers is clearly not the same player, but it's almost as if he's the puppet master, right? Robert Saleh's out of there. It's an inside job, really. Saleh's out of there. And you name Jeff Ulbrich, who I feel sorry for, because this team is going to go to hell and he's also going to lose his job. I can already foreshadow it. But that's what you get when you bring in a quarterback and Nathaniel Hackett to a system that you're praying hopes works, because the defense is really, really good for the Jets. So top-tier defense out there, Sauce Gardner, Quinnen Williams, I could go on and on, but it's just a train wreck, and the fish rots from the head down, and the Jets have a very poisonous, I would say, like head in Aaron Rodgers. I thought you would be able to separate the art from the artist with Aaron, right? He's weird off the field. We know about the stuff off the field, but as long as he was playing football and playing like an MVP, it would be fine. But no, it seems to be sinking, and it really seems to be seeping into his field on the play, as well as being 4 years old, coming back from an injury. So it's just a mess, and the whole thing is shot to hell, to tell you the truth, for the New York Jets. Doing less with more seems to be the Jets' way.
Yeah, definitely, obviously not the season they wanted, and also seemed like this was kind of their one shot with Aaron Rodgers. You don't know when he's going to retire. He is obviously getting pretty old for an NFL quarterback. Three-time MVP, certainly not looking like it so far, but they do face the Texans tonight at MetLife Stadium for Thursday Night Football. Texans are missing their two best wide receivers in Stephon Diggs and Nico Collins, who they've both recently lost to injury. Stephon Diggs, we know, is out for the rest of the season with the ACL, but overall, just is there anything? We've talked a little bit about where the blame goes, but is there anything, like, what can they do now to turn it around? Chase, I'll start with you.
I mean, I wish I could say utilize their weapons a little bit more, because, like I said, like you just look at their roster. Like they have Breece, they have Davante Adams, they have Garrett Wilson. They have, I mean, you would think, obviously, having watched the season, before the season, this looked a little bit better with Aaron Rodgers. Like just from a fantasy football's perspective, like that's a solid roster. Like, I mean, if I ended up drafting that, I'd be like, I'm set, you know? And then Davante Adams hasn't had a good quarterback in, I don't know how many seasons, so you could argue, yet yeah, like we know he's good, but you could argue maybe he's not adjusting very well to, I don't know, because there has to be that dynamic from the quarterback to the wide receiver that everybody assumed Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers would have at the start of the season. But that's just not, obviously it's his like first or second week here. Like you got to give Adams some time. Like he was just thrown into it. Hell, he lost to the Steelers, what, twice in like 1 week, right? Which that's just a funny stat, but I think you gotta give them some time. I think they absolutely could turn it around. Like I know I was sounding a little grim earlier, but Davante Adams is a very talented wide receiver. Wilson, a very talented player. Breece Hall, I mean, such a strong running back, and they have depth too. It's just, yeah, I totally agree with your point of it is rotting from the head down. With the firing of Saleh, that's how you pronounce it, right?
So.
Saleh, yeah. And the trouble that Rodgers is having, and like I can't lie, I don't hate to see it, because, and I'm not, don't have anything against the Jets. I'm just not an Aaron Rodgers fan, because I'm a Lions fan, and it's just like, you know, I'm like, oh no, Aaron Rodgers, he's not succeeding. Oh damn. So I don't know. That's just how I see it, though.
To tell you the truth, they currently sit at 2-6. I mean, if you're talking about playoffs for the New York Jets, you're probably going to have to go 8 or 9 in a row to finish off the season. I don't know how that's going to be possible for this Jets team. Again, the whole operation is just, it's gone awry. But you can always take things one game at a time. If we're talking about actual X's and O's, like Aaron Rodgers, his ball security has not been great. I mean, your stars have to remember who they are, like Quinnen Williams, Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, Davante Adams, if they come alive. And I believe their special teams unit has not been good. Like, I believe it's Greg Zuerlein. Zuerlein, I believe is his name. That's how you pronounce it. I think he leads the league and missed six field goals. I believe he's at six or something. And a few of those games, the Jets were like right there in the game. So if he knocks in those field goals, they win those games. But if you're taking away from the X's and the O's, you got to take back ownership. The team cannot, Aaron Rodgers cannot be a puppet master. He has, like, ownership has to take ownership at some point, and not to put too much credence into a guy who right now is not what you paid for and not the guy that you thought would take you to a Super Bowl. I've also been critical of the fact that they've had no contingency plan at the quarterback position after Aaron Rodgers, but for right now, you're gonna have to take it a game at a time and just go through the schedule and see where you are by the end of this season.
Yeah, if you look ahead, as I said earlier, they face the Texans tonight at MetLife. But if you look ahead to the rest of the Jets' schedule, it's not the worst, but it's not the best either. They do have, I think, a couple winnable games on here. They play the Colts November 17th. Now the Colts are probably a more talented team, but they do have the quarterback issues with Anthony Richardson getting benched last week. And then they also play December 15th, the Jaguars, who've just been lost this season, I think would be the way to put it. But they got two more divisional matchups with the Dolphins, and then they also play the Bills December 29th. That might be a tough one. And then there's a couple others. But overall, it is getting late early, as they say, for the Jets, especially the case in the NFL. It does get late very, very early. We're already on to week nine. And it's tough when there's obviously some, in my opinion, there's some issues. Chemistry, like locker room wise, maybe chemistry wise, like everybody does speak well of Aaron Rodgers for the most part, but it's clear that he hasn't lost the locker room, but there are some issues, and it's getting to be it's noticeable. It's definitely noticeable, even for a Hall of Fame quarterback such as Aaron Rodgers. But now I think we're going to turn it over to the New York Giants if we are done talking about the Jets. This is going to be hard for me because I'm a Giants fan, but Giants are also 2-6, coming off a tough Monday Night Football loss to the Steelers, 26-18. That was their third straight loss. And then their next game this Sunday, they face the Commanders, also at MetLife Stadium. So, kind of a similar outlook for the Giants, but in only in some senses. The Jets, this was their kind of their dream scenario coming into the season. They had their guy at quarterback. He was coming back from the injury. Now the Giants are kind of in more of a rebuilding phase. So, Madi, I'll start with you on this one. Where do you stand on the Giants? What do you think is going to happen the rest of the season with them?
First off, shout out to ex-Giants player Xavier McKinney, who's AFC Player of the Month. Xavier McKinney, excellent defensive back for the Giants in his time. I'm still confused as to why you guys didn't want to pay him. I know he's in the secondary. You have rather choose. Got Brian Burns, right? The Giants don't have an identity, and I thought that would be the defense. I'm not the biggest believer in Daniel Jones. I was still a proponent of not giving him $45 million, as opposed to Saquon Barkley, who's the greatest running back prospect who ever lived. But you chose who you chose. You went with the quarterback. Tyrone Tracy, I believe he's out as of right now. I think he's dealing with an injury, but that running room is clearly not the same. Malik Nabers, when he's healthy and productive, he knows how to play football. But I thought defense was going to be their calling card. Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeaux, and the third name escapes me. I believe it's someone else on that defensive line, but I thought they'll be able to get it done, and it just appears that they really can't hold anyone. Even the Pittsburgh Steelers offense, as the Steelers fan, put up 26 points. It's not what you expect out of the Pittsburgh Steelers unit led by, I believe, Russell Wilson. I mean, he's a rejuvenation. I mean, the Giants, they don't seem to be able to do anything. 3 points against the Eagles. I mean, like seven against the Bengals. I'm looking at it right now. And then you go ahead and you beat a Seahawks team, but these wins are few and far between. Washington is a very, very dangerous unit against Jaden Daniels, a guy that you possibly could have had if things broken out differently. So it's just a very giant season, right? Lack of identity, just regular struggles. I don't know how else to break this down to you.
Chase, what do you think?
Again, it's an outsider perspective for me. But I agree with the issues with quarterback. I mean, he's getting paid $160 million to do, to be honest, nothing. I follow a lot of Instagram accounts that post a lot of NFL memes, and they posted a costume of, like they make like the costume from Party City, like graphics, and it was a Daniel Jones costume, and it was just a trash can with 160 mil in it. I thought it was pretty funny, but like aside from that, like analytically speaking, I think Malik Nabers has performed better than anybody had imagined him to. Coming into the season, we had high expectations for him, of course, but He's definitely exceeded those. And I think that with the right quarterback situation, this team actually could be a lot more of a danger than they are. I think that the Jets would benefit more from a better quarterback than this team. But I do think that despite that difference between the two teams, I think that the Giants could still make some noise with without Daniel Jones. And it's not like they even have like anybody they can pull up. Like they have what, like Drew Lock and let me I just had it up here. Drew Lock, Tommy DeVito. Like
Yeah.
they've tried it. They've tried it before. It's not the solution. I don't know what they're going to be able to do in the future with that, because I don't know a lot of teams that would take on that contract from Daniel Jones. So they're just going to have to ride it out with him, I think. I don't know what the plan is with them. But yeah, I'm just looking at their team right now, and I just it's rough. And I know the Giants, after losing Saquon, like of course he goes to the Eagles and just plays out of his mind,
Mine.
like everybody knew he could and probably would. And you're right, they signed the wrong dude. But that's from, like I said, from an outsider perspective, that's just the Giants, I think, honestly.
Yeah, we're going. This is now year six of Daniel Jones, which now, okay, I'll admit, after 2022, they had the playoff win against the Vikings, and
Vikings,
he had
exactly.
a good season.
Good, yeah.
But you go to 2023, he's hurt for a lot of the season, and when he is on the field, he wasn't performing very well. Tommy DeVito comes in, he kind of starts to make some noise. But it's just, it feels like year after year, there's a lot of excuses around this team. It's been like he never really had a number one wide receiver, which he now does in Neighbors. He's, the offensive line wasn't very good. They bolstered that. And it's still just like nothing clicks. And it's
Yeah.
frustrating from the fan perspective for myself and for just football purposes. Like it's difficult football to watch. I don't know if you guys saw that 2-point attempt the other night against the
Yeah,
Steelers. And that
very
was like
bad.
really, that really, really a little bit of my soul died, to be honest. But yeah, so as I said earlier, the Pittsburgh loss was their third straight loss. They sit at 2-6 going into Week 9 against Washington. About Tyrone Tracy Jr., Mai, who you mentioned, there is optimism that he will be available this week. Not that's a little bit vague at the moment, but at least there is the option that he might be in the game this week. He has had a decent season. Obviously, nobody's running the ball like Saquon Barkley in Philly, but there's a lot of questions here. It was clear, if you watched Hard Knocks in the offseason, which I did, that the coaches and the ownership had Daniel Jones related questions. They tried to trade up to get a higher draft pick to potentially draft someone like Jaden Daniels or Drake May. It seems like Brian Daboll, their head coach, was a big fan of Jaden Daniels. And then he goes to the division rival Commanders, of course, and he's been having a great season so far. So it looks to me like there could be, if they have a high enough draft pick this year, which I mean they are 2-6, it's likely that they're going to have a high draft pick. It's a possibility that they draft someone new and figure out what to do with Daniel Jones and his contract. But what do you guys think? Like, I'm going to look even past the rest of their slate of games because I just can't even think about that right now. Off season wise, like, is there anything that's standing out to you, any moves that they need to make to maybe like not keep looking like this as a football team?
Oh, we talk about the Jets. I mean, like, okay, if we if no, not the Jets, excuse me, the Giants. If we do that, the receiving core was always something that I thought would be a particular strength in back-to-back drafts. You go Jalin Hyatt, and then you go Malik Nabers. Jalin Hyatt is absolutely nowhere to be found. I thought he'd be a bigger, like, big, tall receiver, great route runner. He has nice feet. Get down the field, but he's not using the offense. So Daniel Jones is not a bad quarterback. He has good, like, bones. I think that's the best word. I always use this word when I talk about Daniel Jones. Good size, decent enough athleticism, can run down the field. His deep ball is not the worst in the world. So he's a bridge quarterback, and you can make him work. You've already committed the money to him, so might as well go grab him another weapon. I think another weapon out there with Malik Nabers could probably help him. I don't know who would be on the market for that. Potentially, you wait for the draft. I don't know. Maybe something on offense because, yeah, that's where I'm going with that. I don't know.
Has Cup signed yet?
Ravens.
Like, is Cup still
Might be
potentially?
the Raven though. I think he's the, but he's a Raven. I don't think he. They said they'll be willing to eat most of his cap again because I don't. But I don't know. I don't know if
Because
the Giants.
that would be a deadly combo. Because with okay, so like let's say you throw Malik Nabers on a route, just send him opposite side of the field deep. You're drawing defenders with him. Cooper Kupp is going to be there to torch you on his little inside slants, like his little just like short little passes, and then Malik Nabers the occasional just bomb because he's Malik Nabers and he's playing phenomenal. If you have so many people drawing the defense, it's going to open up like options for whoever your tight end is, your third guy or whatever. If you have those two stars, one star, yeah, it's nice and he's making plays, but I mean the other team's going to have that one cornerback that they can just put on him. Most teams have a dude that's just going to shut them down.
Exactly.
Like so yes, you have one really strong weapon. I think going after another receiver would be a really smart move because yeah, you're right. They just have to eat it with Daniel Jones. Pause. They just have to just except that Daniel Jones is their quarterback, and you're right. He does have a quarterback build. It's he's not an awful quarterback. He's playing awful. He's not an awful quarterback. And I think that you're right with some moves at the receiver position, they could be a different team soon. But yeah, that's another draft away. We still have this season to worry about.
Maybe defensive back as well, defensive line. I think those could work. Those are also like good options there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, looking at the rest of the Giants' schedule, also a little bit bleak. They do have the game in Munich, Germany against the Carolina Panthers next Sunday, November 10th, which should, I mean, the Panthers are bottom of the barrel in the NFL. Like, they are the
Yeah.
laughing stock. The whole Bryce Young situation is something. They absolutely, the Giants need to win that game if they want to keep any shred of dignity, any bit of pride that might be left. They need to win that game in Germany. They have one more matchup against the Eagles, one more against the Cowboys. They also play, these are just a few that are sticking out to me. They play the Ravens December 15th at home. And they also have, like the Jets, a matchup with the Colts December 29th. But these are a lot of games that I feel like they are not strong enough to overpower these teams, and they're also outmatched at quarterback with most of these teams. The one exception, we have to see what the Colts are doing for qu at quarterback by the time they meet in the second to last week of the season. But other than that, it's pretty bleak. They're outmatched at quarterback this weekend against Washington, obviously. Because Jaden Daniels has been having a fantastic rookie season. But that'll be it for the Giants segment, I think. Kind of the same tone with the Jets. It's not the outlook right now is pretty bad. But I do want to go around the week nine slate of games and make our picks, maybe say a little bit about why we're making each pick. So we'll start with tonight's Thursday night game, Texans at Jets. I mean, we just listed all the reasons basically why the Jets aren't going to win this game. Even with the Texans having their two main receivers out tonight, I am going to go with the Texans. Chase, what about you?
Normally, after everything I said, I would stick with the Texans as the obvious choice, but I'm going to go with the Jets tonight because I think Davante Adams having another week under his belt of practice is maybe going to be a little bit of a game changer for them. Hopefully, Aaron Rodgers can do something with those two weapons he has, and I'm not sure how well CJ Stroud is going to be able to perform without those two wide receivers as we've seen in the past couple games. So.
Interesting.
I don't think that's a bad pick, Chase. I actually like that pick a lot. I think I'll agree with you there. I think the Jets finally get one. I think it's a trap game for the Houston Texans. Again, CJ Stroud without his top two receivers, Tank Dell hasn't been good all season there. So I think the Jets could get a freebie here, but they're gonna have to play a complete football game, which we haven't seen in a long time. So I'll go with the Jets. I'll take them with caution.
All right. Next, we have, as we were just touching on a little bit, Commanders visiting the Giants. Again, we just listed all the reasons why the Giants probably won't win that game. Outmatched a quarterback for sure. And Giants are a little beat up injury-wise as well. Tyrone Tracy, we're not really sure what's going on with him for Sunday. So I am going to take Washington here. Monty, I'll throw it to you first. Who do you got?
Washington, I do like Washington. I think they're a real contender. I absolutely do. You know, Jaden Daniels, he has that special type of stuff. Like a lot of people were comparing this to the 2021 draft, and if you lined him up perfectly with their player comps, he got Justin Fields, but he's more than a runner. I mean, like the way he threads the ball on his passes. Terry McLaurin's having so much fun down there in Washington. Brian Robinson has been a better back, like a better half. Like a better half back throughout the season. The defense has been sneaky, sneaky good. So give me the Commanders. I really like them for this game.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was about to just keep it simple and say, yeah, Commanders. I honestly just think they're just a better football team right now, in most respects. I would say I was gonna harp on their defense a little harder. I think their defense has been playing pretty good. I think that they won't really have a lot to worry about on the Giants as long as they can contain Neighbors. I think they'll be set, because their run game is not gonna be very strong. The Giants' run game, I mean. Considering, I think he's questionable. I don't think he's listed as out, but so far Singletary is going to be supposedly going to be a starter, unless we hear otherwise. And like I said, I don't think they have, I don't think they have that spark right now that I don't even think, Washington really has to worry that much. Not, you can't look past any game, but, I would definitely take, Washington for this one for sure.
Yeah, absolutely across the board, Washington on that one. Next, we have Broncos visiting Baltimore to play the Ravens. This is a little bit of a lock for me. Like, I mean, the Ravens are, I think, Super Bowl contenders for sure. And I don't even really know if I need to say more than that. Broncos are not as bad as they were with the Russell Wilson experiment last season, but definitely, I don't think they really match up with the Ravens. So I'm going to take Lamar Jackson and the Ravens this week. Madi, how about you?
I mean, I don't know if Lamar Jack I know Lamar Jackson has a was it a knee or back injury designation. I mean, if he's not able to play, I do think he'll play. But the Broncos are very, very good. This was supposed to be
Yeah.
their rebuilding year. But ladies and
Yeah.
gentlemen, I understand that the defense is hurt right now, but Patrick Surtain, when healthy, is the best quarterback in football. Hell, he may be the best defensive back in football. They don't even throw to him. He's getting Deion Sanders treatment there. I will stick with the Ravens, though. The RPO between Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry is deadly. Bo Nix has been coming along. I like the game. You see it a little bit in Bo Nix. Obviously, all that time he spent in college. He's solid. He's solid enough to a point where he could perhaps win you some football games. But I'm gonna go with the Ravens here. But the Broncos are not too far behind. They can make this a fun one.
Totally agree. I want to keep watching. I like watching Bo Nix on the Broncos. I honestly think he's a pretty good fit for the team, and their future looks pretty bright. Considering, yeah, this was supposed to be a rebuild year. I don't think their defense can stop the Henry Lamar combo, but especially because that's basically just two running backs if you think about it too. But I think that, and especially with the season Derrick Henry's having, like he's just torching teams like. Lamar just it gives him so many options, like you said. It's just it's so hard to contain that. And I don't think the Broncos defense is suitable to hold them for four straight quarters. Like it just I really do think that this one out of the three we've had, it's probably the easiest to say the Ravens. But you never know. Like football's fun sport to watch. It's crazy. You never know. Broncos could go out there and definitely make this a fun one. They could beat the Ravens, but I'm taking the Ravens myself.
All right, our next matchup, Raiders visiting the Bengals. This is kind of this is a weird one because both teams, Raiders are 2-6. They're really struggling. The Bengals are having a pretty disappointing season considering that they have Joe Burrow back after the injury last year, but I am going to take the Bengals because they obviously have the quarterback advantage overall. They have obviously had the struggles, and it doesn't look like they're going to really be a contender in for the Super Bowl. I don't want to speak too early, but I am going to take Cincinnati for this one. How about you, Chase?
I'm taking Cincinnati as well because I think that I'm just a big believer that if you have a solid quarterback wide receiver connection, I think you can just I think you can wear down defenses and win football games by opening up other options to that and drawing the defense out a little bit. And I see that in Jamar and Burrow. So I think that I honestly think the Raiders are kind of just they're just not strong enough to. Defensively to be able to adapt to that. So I would say I would take the Bengals in this one, but it's not nearly as cut and dry as the last pick, considering both teams are having very disappointing seasons. So I'm taking the Bengals for sure.
I will take the Bengals in this game as well. I think it's a clean sweep, but I'm a bit more optimistic than you, Chase. I mean, the Bengals surprisingly are the third in the AFC North. Again, that's a very, very good division. You're in there with the Baltimore Ravens, who again, we talked about Super Bowl contenders, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are playing out of their mind. As long as you have Mike Tomlin, you're going to win 9 games. Russell Wilson seems to be back. Justin Fields was playing really, really well. So that's a Steelers team that's a lot better than people give them credit for. The Bengals started off the season very, very slow. You have that one game against the Chiefs, and then the second game, I believe you lose. Is it the Patriots or was it a Raiders game? It was one of the two teams there. I'm trying to think who you lost to there, but I mean, like, I'm a bit more optimistic about this team. Joe Burrow is playing out of his mind. Jamar Chase is one of the few best receivers in football, and he's proving to you why this season. T. Higgins is also having a really good season, right? So they're getting the production from perhaps their best three players. I think they're going to beat up on the Raiders, like Maxx Crosby on the defense. But yeah, that's not a good team overall. And I believe the run for the Bengals starts after this week. You play the Ravens. You played them close last time. Earlier in the season, I believe you lost only by a field goal there. They could make that game interesting. They have teams like the Chargers, the Steelers, the Cowboys on their schedule. So don't be too surprised if this game acts as the catalyst for the Bengals to go on to finish as an above 500 team and maybe even a wild card team. I think they're really, really good.
Next up is Patriots visiting the Titans. This is also kind of a weird one. There's a lot of weird games this week, not a lot of like super interesting ones. I mean, Patriots are obviously not that great. Titans are also 1-6. So I am going to take the Patriots, even with the Drake May possible injury, but Titans haven't really been showing me much this season, and if Drake May can play for the Patriots, I don't know if we have an update on that, but if he can play, I think he's solid, and I think he will take them to the win. Madi, how about you?
Patriots Titans again. This is a very, very a game of made here. But if you talk about the New England Patriots, I mean, like the offensive line is atrocious. Like Drake May, like I understand why Jerod Mayo wanted to keep him out as long as possible, just have Jacoby Brissett play because the product would be good. Obviously, if you're a corporation, you want to put the best product out there. But the product was so bad that if you threw Drake May out there, he was going to die within like the first 2 weeks. And then you would just have another bad product again. And that's what happened. He's in concussion protocol. I don't know if I would say a shorthanded Patriots team could do it. Give me the I don't even know. Give me the Titans. I'll go with the Titans for this one. Gnome. Jalen Polk, who's excellent as well. No Christian Ellis on the defensive side. I know L'Jarius Sneed, the big free agent acquisition from the Chiefs, is going to be out, but I think the Titans just play with house money, if you will, in this one.
Who's going? Who's playing where? Like, where is this game being held at?
I think, if I'm not mistaken,
It's in Tennessee.
in Tennessee.
Okay, well, these are probably the two teams that I would say I know the least. Because is Levis still starting?
I believe so.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I couldn't even have told you that. I know the least about these teams, so I'm gonna go with the Titans just because, yeah, the Patriots, the one thing I do know about the Patriots is that their offensive line has been rough because, I mean, they've had to have multiple quarterbacks step in, that have gotten injured. So that's just, you can't win games without a strong offensive line. And I'm just going to go with the Titans because it's at Tennessee. That's like the only reason. I seriously don't know a lot about these teams, so.
It's interesting because I've heard reports that the Patriots are actually targeting Calvin Ridley from the Titans.
Wow.
Yeah, they're actually going to be targeting him. So it's a weird matchup here, like a new team versus like the team you're currently on right now. And he just had a breakout game after the DeAndre Hopkins trade. He had a shoulder thing, I think, that was going on. That's why he missed practice. But it's interesting. I know the Patriots, they have Christian Gonzalez, who is a bright young star. I talk about Patrick Surtain, but Christian Gonzalez is going to be that one day. But give me the Titans. Yeah, I'll roll with the Titans.
Next up on the docket, we have Saints at Panthers, another kind of battle of two teams that are a little bit bottom of the barrel, bottom of their divisions. They're actually the same division, but both at the bottom. We were talking a little bit about the Panthers earlier because they play the Giants next week, and Panthers are really, truly I think the worst team in the NFL. They have nothing going for them at this point. Their young quarterback, who was supposed to stay the franchise, has been benched, Bryce Young. Now he's back because Andy Dalton was in a car accident, I believe. I believe he's starting again this week, but he has not shown a lot so far. His development is in question for sure, even though the Saints are, I believe it's 2-6 as well. A lot of 2-6 teams. I am going to take the Saints here just because of how bad the Panthers have been. Madi, how about you?
Very, very interesting matchup, and it's one a lot of people don't look at. But Derek Carr's back in the lineup for the New Orleans Saints, right? And I believe in his career, he's perfect against them, a perfect 8-0, if I'm not mistaken here. I mean, before his week five oblique injury, he completed about 70% of his passes, 989 yards, 8 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. Alvin Kamara has continued to be one of the best backs in football, productive as ever. It's always been an injury risk with Alvin Kamara. As long as he's healthy, one of the most dynamic backs in football, could catch out of the backfield. He could really do it all there. If you're looking over to the Panthers side, I think Xavier Leggett is the player you have to look at. Deontay Johnson just got traded again. Leggett usually works well with Andy Dalton. I don't know if Dalton is clear to start. That's what's going to be the thing here. But give me the better team for now. It's Derek Carr's 5-0 in career starts against the Carolina Panthers. I think he'll make it 6-0. Again, the Panthers could play them really, really close in this one, but I'm going to go with the Saints here.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Saints for sure for this one. Not just because I like the way that the Saints started the season or anything, and I think that they are a better football team, but just looking at the scores of these Panthers games that they've played this year, not only did they lose the first game of the season 47-10 to New Orleans, the team they're playing, every other than their win, they beat Vegas 36-22. Surprisingly, that's interesting. But other than that, all of their losses have been pretty bad. Like, there's 36-10 in week five against the Bears. There's 26-3 week two against the Chargers, who have been struggling this season too. Like, I just don't see the Panthers really putting up a competitive football game for the next. I mean, they're playing New York next week. But other than that, I honestly don't think they're putting up any competitive games in the next few weeks. So I think definitely Saints for this one.
Right, we finally have a little bit more of an interesting one with this game. The Cowboys visit Atlanta to play the Falcons. I'm gonna take the Falcons mostly because it is in Atlanta, and I just don't like the Cowboys, and this brings me great joy to say this. The Cowboys are just not that team this year. Like, I don't have any thought that they're going to go to the Super Bowl, and I try not to ever, but they're just not, there's not enough. Dak has not done enough. Micah Parsons has been injured. I don't know if he's playing this week, but he's been missing some time as well. and he is always the guy to watch with them. But I am going to take the Falcons. They've been up and down as well, but in this one, I'm going to take the Falcons, I think. Chase, I'll start with you on this one.
I'm going Falcons too. I mean, I don't think I've matched. I don't think I've gone one pick where I've gone against like anybody here. But I'm taking the Falcons. I just think that, I mean, the new style of play they have, where they're actually utilizing, Drake London and Bijan, and it's just it's a different team, and they have, Kirk Thuggins behind the wheel, and I absolutely love it. I love all the Kirk Cousins, like I just I love it, and they have was it Penix in behind Kirk Cousins, which I honestly, like, at the time, wild pick. I was like, unbelievable, what are they doing? They kind of have something set up though. Like I kind of see what, like, maybe they were cooking up. I don't know. But I just like this team, because last year was so frustrating to watch them. Because I mean, I had London and Bijan in fantasy, and they're just so hit or miss because they were just not being used correctly by the OC. So I think this Falcons team is pretty dangerous. So I'm gonna go Falcons. Yeah.
Yeah, make it a clean sweep. I'm also going to go Falcons. And Chase, you brought up the number one point. This team was not using their extremely talented players. You look around the NFL, the Falcons sneakily have one of the most talented offensive weapons group in the entire league. Kyle Pitts is the greatest tight end prospect of all time. There was never a tight end that had more hype coming out of college than him. That's all you heard about Kyle Pitts, how great he was going to be. Drake London played two sport athlete, basketball and football, big body, could go up and get a football strong. And Bijan Robinson, he was the back of the draft. But they were working with Arthur Smith, who was obsessed with backup tight ends, and Michael Pruitt, and he wasn't using his guys. But now that they have a quarterback and they're being utilized, you see what's being unlocked with the Atlanta Falcons. And again, like you said, Grace, Dallas is not that team, right? That big loss that you took to, was it Detroit 47 to like 10 or something like that? I mean, you're playing down to your competition at the same time. 44 to 19, the Saints leave you in the absolute dust. You're getting beat by teams. Like, I have it right here. You're getting beat by teams like an injury riddled 49ers club. They'll be back, but they're injury riddled. And you're playing down to teams like the Steelers and the Browns. And you're just not putting together a complete season. Micah Parsons is injured, and he's not going to be a Cowboy for much longer because he's going to get traded. I think he's the guy out. You pay Dak. If you pay Dak and you pay CD, you're not going to have enough money for everybody. So Micah's going to be out eventually. And this is like kind of like the parting gift of a season that they have, and it's the same old Cowboys. They get the press because they're the Cowboys, but they're not actually that good. So give me Atlanta.
Next up, another little bit of a sleepy game. Dolphins visiting Buffalo to play the Bills. We know the story with the Dolphins has been Tua and his concussion issues. He is back. He will be playing. But that said, the Dolphins are 2-5, and a lot of that is because of his injury problems. But the Bills are a solid team. Like, I was a little bit down on them in the AFC East because they never seem to get it done. They can never get past the Chiefs in the playoffs, but they are 6-2, so I'm going to give them a little grace here, and they're clearly miles better than the Dolphins. I'm going to go with Buffalo. How about you, Chase?
I don't know if it was that easy for me. Yes, the Bills are 6-2, and Dolphins are 2-5, and Dolphins have had problems with their quarterback all year because just of his head injuries. But I don't know. I don't want to count the Dolphins out, because I think they have the weapons, for sure. They have a solid backfield. They have Tyreek. They still have Waddell, right? So I just think that they definitely have the weapons. It's all dependent on whether or not Tua comes in and just keeps sliding before taking hits. If he continues to do that and they continue to protect him, then I don't see why not, why they couldn't beat the Bills. But surprisingly, after all saying all that, I am still going to go with the Bills because I do think they are a better football team, a stronger football team. Their defense is actually, people have kind of hated on it in the past, but it actually is showing up. So I do think that the Bills are going to take this one. But I would not be surprised to see a really, really tough game.
The Dolphins are going to make this a good one with Tua back in the lineup. I mean, it's Tua Tagovailoa. I'm one of the most accurate quarterbacks in football there. So Tyreek Hill, Devon Achane, Jaylen Waddle, these guys are going to get their touches and they're going to be able to explode. They're a really splashy offensive team and they could get it done. I will go with Buffalo on this one because 6-2, 2-0 with Amari Cooper. Both games you leave your opponent on 10. You combine in those two games to put up 65 points. I mean, like juice ball, Josh Allen behind center. I mean, it's just winning ways down there in Buffalo. And Amari Cooper specifically, like that was like the trade. I know the Davante Adams just trade happened at the same time, but that was the real best trade of that week because his gravity is being utilized, right? Dalton Kincaid, Khalil Shakir, Tion Coleman, the rookie, good size, athleticism, a little bit slow down the field, but he's finally being utilized. Like everybody's getting involved. It's a spread offense. Josh Allen could deliver the football when the play goes awry. You know what Josh Allen could do with his legs. I don't think the train stops here. I think it's going to be a good, like, it's a stronger win on the schedule for the Bills. Like, again, Miami is not a 2-5 team. They've just been hurt. I do think Buffalo will win, and I do think this is a win you look back on and go, oh, that was a really, really good win against a really, really good football team who just had bad injury luck. So give me Buffalo.
Next up, we have Chargers visiting Cleveland to play the Browns. Now, I believe it's going to be Jameis Winston at quarterback for Cleveland once again after the Deshaun Watson injury and obvious problems there. I'm going to take the Chargers. The Chargers have had their problems. A lot of these matchups are like, yeah, this team has had their problems, but the team they're playing is worse. And I think that's a good example here. The Browns, I feel like, are pretty demoralized by the way things have gone for them this year so far, even before the Deshaun Watson injury. But I am going to take the Chargers, and I think the Chargers can go on a little bit of a run. Like, I think they do have a good roster. It's just that they can't always put it together, which I feel like has been a theme for them the past couple of years. They're 4-3. Browns are 2-6. But I am going to take Los Angeles here. I'll throw it to you first, Chase. Who do you got?
I'm a Michigan fan, and it is hard to watch Harbaugh come into this like without. I mean, he has a good quarterback. Don't count Herbert out, but the weapons they're not really there. They're not really existent, actually. And they're still like not they're not an awful football team by any stretch, but and like I said, I hate to watch Harbaugh come into the situation, but I'm not really convinced, and I haven't been convinced in any of the games I have watched by them. So I am gonna go with the Browns. New face out there, in Winston. I like to see it. I'm a Winston fan, just because he's, I don't know. I think he's a good leader. And I like watching the teams he plays for. They might not always do very well, but I'm not gonna let my bias, take me, in this one. And I'm gonna go with the Browns, surprisingly, on this.
You talk about Harbaugh, and one thing with Harbaugh, like it's like Harbaugh, Greg Roman as your OC, and then you draft Joe Alt with the fifth overall pick. I think all that screams you're going to run the football, and they've been doing that all year with the Los Angeles Chargers. J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, when he was healthy, they've been moving that football with their legs. Gus Edwards, obviously, out. J.K. Dobbins having a very, very good year. I think, give me the Cleveland Browns. I'm gonna go against the conventional wisdom. Something about Jameis Winston, I like to call him like a zero-sum player. It's either he's playing amazing or he's throwing an interception. Jameis is gonna air it out, and I think he has the guys to do it. Jerry Jeudy has not picked up the production, but I think he'll be a bigger factor in this game. Cedric Tillman had two touchdowns last game, right? Jameis Winston is out there. He's throwing the football. I think he's crazy. He's not scared. Like he threw 30 touchdowns. Was it what, 30 and 30? 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions in a single season not too long ago when he was starting with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But he's not scared to air it out. I think this could backfire for the Chargers game plan in this week. And they're coming off a win against a very, very good Baltimore Ravens team. So I'm gonna say, give me the Cleveland Browns for this one. I think they could catch the Chargers off guard.
All right, next up, we have the Jaguars going to Philly to play the Eagles. We touched a little bit on the Jaguars earlier because I believe they have a game against the Jets in a few weeks, but They are pretty bad as well. There's like a dude, I feel like there's a lot of bad teams this year, a lot of 2-6 teams, some of which are kind of foolishly 2-6, but some of which are 2-6, and that's who they are. And I think that might be the Jaguars. Now, I'm not totally down on Trevor Lawrence. Like, I think he has talent, and I just think that it, maybe he hasn't been showing it as much as he could. And yeah, I don't know if this is who the Jaguars are. Really, 2-6 is pretty bad, but the Eagles are, in fact, is it 5-2? Yeah. So I think this is kind of a layup for me. This might be my lock of the week, actually. I think I said that about Broncos Ravens earlier, but this might be my lock of the week. I'm taking Philadelphia here. How about you, Madi?
Philadelphia. Philadelphia
Yeah.
has to be Philadelphia. I think the number one factor for me in this game,
them, but and obviously your starting left tackle is not something that you want to ever let go of. They were incredibly unlucky with that. So I'm looking at three guys specifically for this one. I'm looking at Josh Sweat. I'm looking at Nolan Smith, who's finally picking up the production, and I'm looking at Bryce Huff. They should be able to feast on that side, and they should be able to get to Trevor Lawrence there. I think Jalen Hurts can outthrow Justin Herbert. I think he could have a better game there. It's not too, I don't think that's too crazy to say. I think he could put him on pace with them. And I just think Philadelphia is going to continue their win streak in November. So give me the Eagles there against a Jaguars team that we've been trying to make a thing for a very, very long time, but this team is refusing just to come together.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Philadelphia. I think this one's probably the easiest one that we've had, but is there an echo? Can you hear that?
A little bit.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm gonna go with Philadelphia because the team is just it's a stronger team in general. They have a lot more talent, I think. Not that Jacksonville doesn't have a lot of talent, but I think Philadelphia knows how to use it more, and they're not as injury ridden as their opponents would be. So yeah, I'm gonna take Philadelphia for sure with this one.
Next, we have the Chicago Bears visiting Arizona to play the Cardinals. I'm gonna go with the Cardinals here. They've been interesting this season. Like they haven't been unbelievably great, but Kyler Murray has it. Like he's fast. He obviously runs the ball, but I mean, I like what I don't hate what I've seen from the Bears. I like Caleb Williams. I think he's going to be great once he gets developed, but I am going to take the Cardinals here. How about you, Madi?
You say Cardinals. I'm gonna go with the Chicago Bears. I'm gonna go with the Chicago Bears. I will say the game of the week last week, Washington, Chicago. I mean, like by hook or by crook, Chicago found themselves in the game and they were able to really give us like an extremely like okay. Let me cut to the chase. Chicago's probably the first like quarter, the worst first quarter team in the NFL. Like usually it takes them a time to get their feet wet, before they start actually like producing. But when their feet are wet, Chicago is a very, very dangerous team. I like what I've seen all season long from Caleb Williams. I mean, he's a front runner for Offensive Rookie of the Year. I don't think that's crazy enough to say. And Chicago just looks better. Cole Kmet, Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze. I have high hopes for Roma Dunze. He'll probably come along as the season goes on. But I mean, the Bears, I mean, like, I think their offense could get it done, particularly with that defense that tends to keep them in a lot of games. They're able to play complementary football at the right times, and I think Chicago they come off the high of last week against Washington. I think they steal one. I do.
I think the more obvious choice for me, I think, would to be to go Chicago, but since I'm biased, I'm gonna go Cardinals. Because I love watching them play. They're kind of an explosive team. I think that Murray has capability to shine in specific moments. And I think when they utilize Harrison, I think they're a
That's a tough
really
part.
dangerous team. Like that's because Murray can chuck that ball. Like he's got the arm, and Marv has the speed, he has the hands, he has the build. And then they have Connor in the backfield, who's been having a really good season back there. I think it's more dependent on their defense. And I think if the Cardinals defense performs this game, I think they're going to take it. Like I said, I think realistically, the reasonable choice would be the Bears, but I'm going to go with the Cardinals.
I mean, if I could jump in here once again, Chicago has played really, really well against top wideouts. Like you think Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, Brian Thomas Jr., Christian Kirk, Terry McLaurin. I mean, they've been able to lock up a lot of those guys. I mean, like Chicago's sneaky guys. I'm just saying, Chicago's really, really sneaky.
Yeah, so a little bit more on the NFC West. We have an NFC West matchup, Rams visiting Seahawks. We know that that's a tough place to play at if you're the away team. But I don't love this. This is a little weird. The NFC West is weird because the top, there's three teams tied for the first for first place, and they're 4-4. Like, this is not a great division so far. The 49ers are obviously not at full strength. I am gonna go with the Rams. I don't know if that's a risky pick, but I don't know. I mean, the Giants did beat the Seahawks, so I'm kind of like, are the Seahawks that good if the Giants beat them? So, what about you, Chase? I'll throw it to you first.
I'm not sold on the Rams. But I do think that the Seahawks, they have the capability to be a really good football team. And not that they're not, but I think that the Rams have more experience being a good football team. Is that crazy to say? Like in recent years. And I think that is Stafford injured? Why do I feel
He
like he's
might
injured right
be.
now? I don't know. Don't like assume he is or anything. I just feel like for some reason I thought he was injured. But if he's not, I think a healthy Stafford and Kupp, and isn't Nacua back this week?
Yes.
Who is
So
back?
I think
Nacua is back.
that's a tough big three right there. And then they have what's the running back's name? Oh, I'm blanking.
Kyron. Kyron.
Kyron, dude, Kyron's solid. So I don't know. I think I'm taking the Rams on this one for sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Rams because when the ball club on the offensive side comes together, it's just too much. I mean, like Matthew Stafford was brilliant a week ago against the Vikings, right? It's looked completely different since Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua have come back from injury. The LA Rams, they had a very, very slow start to the season, and then they won seven of the last eight games. I believe this was last year. I'm talking about seven of the last eight games to win, to make it to the playoffs in a rebuilding year, right? So now you have Puka Nacua, who appears out of nowhere, Kyron Williams, who's an excellent back. Pair that with Cooper Kupp. I know he's on the trade market. He's most likely to get traded. But for the team that you have now, give me the win over Seattle. Seattle, a very solid team, a team that I like a lot as well. Geno Smith, DK Metcalf in the red zone. Tyler Lockett still hanging around at 31, 32 years of age. But I mean, this Rams offense is just extremely potent when healthy and together. Sean McVay as a head coach, who's just one of the most brilliant X's and O's guys out there. So give me the Rams.
All right, we moving over to the NFC North now. We have Lions visiting the Packers at Lambeau Field. I think this is kind of a layup. Like, the Packers are good, Packers are solid, especially since Jordan Love is back from his injury, but Lions are fantastic. And I think that if they're going to make the Super Bowl anytime soon, this is their year. So, with all that being said, I know that was like a lot of big theory ideas, not a lot of X's and O's on that, but I am taking the Lions. I think they're the better team. Madi, how about
I don't want to say a layup because the Packers defense has taken a huge leap in 2024. I mean, like, guys have been coming alive on that side of the ball. I mean, like, we could talk about the defense all we could, like, ad nauseam, but I think swapping out Josh Jacobs for Aaron Jones was also a very, very good move there. Jordan Love is obviously Jordan
Yes.
Love, but sneaky good. I mean, is the receiving core not just Wicks and but Jaden Reed, Romeo Dobbs, Taylor Tucker Kraft is like one of the biggest safety nets in the entire league. You could always rely on him for a catch or a quick red zone touchdown. Like, they can make things interesting. I will go with the Lions. I will go with the Lions. The offense is so spread out. Amon-Ra St. Brown. It's not just the Amon-Ra St. Brown show because the offense is so balanced. So many different guys can kill you. Jahmyr Gibbs, Amon-Ra himself. Like I could go on. Jared Goff is a really, really good quarterback, and he's able to spread it out between his guys. Penei Sewell leads an excellent offensive line as well. So give me the Lions. I just think they're the better team. But shout out to Green Bay and just a pat on the back to them.
I'm gonna start it off by just saying Lions for sure. And I'm gonna explain why. I think not only do I think Green Bay is actually a pretty strong team, especially with Love behind the wheel. I will give them their flowers. I'll say, like they're a solid team, but I do think the Lions are just they're just on a roll right now. And you were right. This is the year that they make a Super Bowl, I think. Last year, it should have been last year. It should have been last year. An awful meltdown to the Niners in the NFC Championship. It was awful. One of the worst games I've watched as a fan. But it's just I really do think that there's not a lot of teams out there that could beat them in four quarters. I really don't. And I even though you said it was at Green Bay, right?
Yes.
Even though it's at Green Bay, I still think the Lions are just there's too tough. But like the best backfield in the league, they have Amon-Ra, they have Williams out there. I just think it's like, I mean, Jared Goff behind the wheels is playing. He doesn't even have to play that good, and they're still a good football team. So it's just and Dan Campbell just he's coaching a great team, and he's so fun to root for. It's so fun to be a Lions fan. Finally, like it's just. I don't know. It's all smiles over here. I'm going Lions for sure.
All right, we're down to our last two games. Colts visiting Minnesota to play the Vikings. Now, this is kind of two very different tales here. The Colts just benched Anthony Richardson. They will be starting Joe Flacco, the veteran. And then the Vikings have had like a surprising start to the season. Sam Darnold kind of making himself almost into an MVP candidate. They've been struggling last couple of weeks a little bit more, but they did have an incredible start to the season. So with all of the struggles that the Colts have had and the surprises from the Vikings, I am going to take Minnesota here. Chase, what do you think?
Normally, I think I would go with Minnesota too. But honestly, I like the way that Joe Flacco has been able to come into games and kind of take over teams when they're kind of at a low point, and do just enough to lead them to victories in these tough games. And we've seen that multiple times, like when he was on the Browns, that was special. And I do think that the Vikings are a solid team, especially with Darnold right now. But just based on the fact that Flacco is coming back in. Like I want to talk about this earlier. Like, what happened with Richardson? Did he pull himself out? Because I saw he said he was tired. Like,
Yeah,
he knows he's an NFL
that's
quarterback, right? Like,
yeah.
isn't he getting paid millions to do his job? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me. And I think that honestly, that's regardless of if it's good for the team, that's a good move. I think I'm gonna go with the Colts on this one. Because I want to see another Flacco masterclass. I really do.
I wish I could say the Colts too, but I mean, Joe Flacco came into this game and revitalized, stabilized the offense that was the Colts, and they got guys that can move. I mean, I'm off the top of my head, like Michael Pittman's the number one receiver in this league, right? Josh Downs is also really, really good. Paris Campbell, I believe, is also on the roster. Jonathan Taylor, of course, in the backfield there. But the defense is so suspect. And when you have Justin Jefferson, who's one of one, I mean, like Sam Darnold was able to figure it out after stints in New York, after stints in Carolina. You got him to understand the bigger picture. He knows when to hit his guys in stride. His ball placement is really, really good. And Sam Darnold's back. I'm going to have to go with Minnesota because they're a more complete team on both sides of the ball. Again, it's suspect the defense for the Indianapolis Colts. I just think that Minnesota edges them out in both. And I think Justin Jefferson is due for another big, big game here. Joe Flacco's going to have himself a ball for sure. But after starting off the season 5-0 undefeated, they went on a little bit of a skid. I think the Vikings get another little pick-me-up win.
All right, our last game of the week, Monday Night Football, Buccaneers at Arrowhead to play the Chiefs. I don't really know if much needs to be said here. I think it's absolutely the Chiefs, 7-0. Bucks are 4-4. I don't think they're bottom of the barrel by any means, but the Chiefs are one of one. Patrick Mahomes is one of one. Even with Travis Kelce's struggles this season, they're 7-0. So taking the Chiefs. How about you, Chase?
I would say don't count out Tampa Bay. But I think the Chiefs would be just a smart pick. And I am going to make that pick. But I do think that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers could put up a pretty solid fight. They're not going to back down. Baker's been playing really good, but yeah, I think it's the obvious choice would be to go with the Chiefs, and I'm definitely going to do that.
I believe Baker Mayfield, prior to this game, I mean, I think the sentiment he's been saying is every drive needs to end in a kick. And if you do so, you can beat the Chiefs. But for right now, I'm going to have to go with Kansas City again with all the struggles. Rashee Rice, Marquise Brown out for this season. Travis Kelce just now starting to pick up the production. Patrick Mahomes has found a way to get it done, right? By hook or by crook. I mean, they've been alternating. Isaiah Pacheco as well. The Chiefs were just able to trade for DeAndre Hopkins because they needed ammo bad. That was just one, two, three injuries off the top of my head. Again, Kelce beginning to pick up steam now in week 7 or 8 of this season, but they've been able to getting it done. World-class, first-class organization. They're going to remain perfect for the season. Tampa Bay is going to definitely put up some points. Shout out to Baker Mayfield and that deep receiving core, but it's going to be Kansas City for this one. There's not much to say.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode of NFL Friday, production of WFUV Sports. Shout out to Alex Diaz for producing for us. I was joined by Madi Dembele and Chase Benson. I am Grace McCarron. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next week on NFL Friday.